Good morning. It's good to see everyone this morning. We have several who are out of town, and we certainly need to keep them in mind in our prayers that they might have a safe travel. But it's good for us to be here this morning, and it's good for us to have an opportunity to come together to study God's Word. I begin this morning with the question, what are your aims in life? What goals do you have each day that you get up? What are you shooting for? What is your target? A lot of times when we're younger, we have different sets of goals and aims. It might be something along the lines of getting an education, and then after that, we want to land our first job, and then we want to start making some money, and we want to buy a house. I remember right after getting married, having been in some rental property for several years, I couldn't wait to buy a house. I want to have my own home, you see. And we have these goals and these aspirations. And there may not be anything necessarily wrong with those. But in the big picture of things, what is most important? There are certainly things even more important than that. And when we're younger and we're dating and we're thinking along those lines, we want to get married and one day we want to have children. And there's certainly nothing wrong with that, of course. We understand how honorable marriage is. But you think about someone like Jesus or the Apostle Paul who never married. And so is that really the ultimate goal in life or the ultimate aim that we need to be shooting for? When I think of a Christian and the goals that he or she should have, I think of no better example than the Apostle Paul. And I want to look at him this morning and look at the aims that he had and look at the goals that he had to remind us that when we get up each day, there are more important things than maybe the physical things that we have planned for the day. There's a bigger picture, and I try to do that in my own life. I try to get up and think about the big picture, not just the immediate situation. Sometimes that's challenging, but we need to do that. I think about the song that we sang this morning, "I am going to a city." Well, that's a goal. That's an aim. But do we really mean that? Do we really think about that? I'm going to a city where the roses never fade. Well, that's a goal. And what are our goals in life? What are the aims that we need to have? And I think of the Apostle Paul. And when I think about that, in order to get the background, turn with me to Acts chapter 22. Do you know that a person's condition in life, what is going on in his life today, often sets the goals or the aims that he will have? What is on his mind, what his relationship to the world is, will affect his goals. What his thinking is, what his background is, that will affect his goals for that day. And when the relationship is changed, then the goals change. And somebody says, well, what goals do you have today? Well, it's going to depend upon your relationship with God. It's going to depend upon your background. It's going to depend upon the thinking that you have at the moment. And that may change. And I think about the Apostle Paul, who was once Saul of Tarsus. Turn with me to Acts chapter 22. What we're going to find here is that Paul had some earthly aims and goals. But when he was converted, the aims and the goals changed. And so somebody this morning might be thinking, okay, well, I need to change my goals. Well, the answer is going to be, you need to change your relationship. You need to be converted. And I don't mean necessarily be baptized. A Christian can be converted. A Christian can make some changes, you see. And so if we need to change some goals or some aims, it's going to be when we change our thinking in our relationship with God. Notice, for example, in Acts chapter 22, when the Apostle Paul is addressing the people there in Jerusalem, verse 1, "Brethren and fathers, hear the defense which I now make unto you." He's speaking to a Jewish audience, and when they had heard that he spake to them in the Hebrew language, they were the more quiet, and he saith, "I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up..." Now, before we read here, be thinking about his background. Be thinking about what's going to be in this man's mind. What's going to be his background? That's going to set the goals that he has. So he is a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia, brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel. He's an educated man, instructed to the strict manner of the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, even all you this day. And I persecuted this way, that's another term for Christians, the New Testament church. I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. As also the high priest doth bear witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom I received letters unto the brethren, and journeyed to Damascus to bring them also that were unto Jerusalem in bonds to be punished. Now, what were Saul's aims? What were his goals? Well, he tried to zealously serve God. But a part of that was persecuting Christians and bringing them to be persecuted. He had aims and goals. But by the end of this sermon, in verse 21, his aims and his goals change. What happened? Well, there was a change in Damascus. So here's a man who gets up every morning, I want to zealously serve God and I'm going to go persecute Christians. That's my aim for today. But by the time we get to verse 21, that's not his aim or goal anymore. Something changed. He was converted, you see. And so we need to be thinking about that this morning. What are our goals in life? If they tend to be earthly and material and physical and this world oriented, then we need to make some changes in our thinking. And so what changed? Well, verse 6, "And it came to pass that as I made my journey and drew nigh to Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me beheld indeed the light, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise, and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, well reported of by all the Jews that dwelt there, came unto me, and standing by me, said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And in that very hour I looked upon him. And he said, The God of our fathers hath appointed thee to know his will, and to see the righteous one, that's Jesus, and to hear a voice from his mouth, that's Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me, and so forth. For thou shalt be a witness for him unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on his name. A change was made. He's no longer getting up. I'm getting up this morning to go persecute Christians. His aims and his goals suddenly changed. What was that? Well, part of it was seeing the resurrected Lord, and part of it was becoming a Christian and being baptized into Christ. Verse 17, And it came to pass that when I had returned to Jerusalem, and while I prayed in the temple, I fell into a trance, and saw him saying unto me, Make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, because they will not receive the testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they themselves know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. When the blood of Stephen, thy witness, was shed, I also was standing by and consenting and keeping the garments of them that slew him. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee forth hence unto the Gentiles. Now his goal and aim is to go preach to the Gentiles. What changed? Paul changed. And so I want us to think this morning about the aims and the goals that you have in life and that I have in life. And I want to turn now to Philippians chapter 3 and look at four aims that Paul had in life. He changed. He was a changed man. And you and I need to be changed. Truly changed. And I don't mean, again, just at our conversion, but if we need to make changes today as a Christian, if we need to alter some things, if we need to adjust some things in our relationship with God, it will change our goal and our aim. We do that with a gun when we sight it in. If it's not hitting the target, we take it down and we make some adjustments to the scope or to the sight. We move it left and right and we move it up and down. We need to make some adjustments so that our aim is accurate. And it doesn't need to be earthly oriented. It needs to be heavenly oriented. There's one place that Paul writes in his different epistles in which he sets forth his aims. And I want to look at those this morning. There are four that we want to consider. And we want to ask, are these the same goals and aims that I have as a Christian? These things are written so that we can follow Paul's example. In fact, if you look, before we look at Philippians 3, if you look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9, the things which you both learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do. Paul is our example. And when he writes here about his aims, he's saying that this is the aim that a Christian should have. Well, in Philippians chapter 3, the first few verses, the Apostle Paul has been giving his background and his Jewish upbringing. And we find in verses 5, 6, and 7 and so forth that he had a Jewish background, but he was willing to leave all that behind. And we saw the background of that in Acts chapter 22. He left it behind in Damascus. He became a Christian. He didn't stop being a physical Jew. Neither did he stop doing everything in the law. There were some things in the law that he continued to practice that did not get in the way of being a Christian, but he made a complete change in conversion. He became a Christian. Now, look at verse 8 with me through verse 12. Let's read about the four aims of the Apostle Paul. Yea, verily, I count all things to be loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, that is, his Jewish background and so forth, and do count them but refuge that I may gain Christ. Now, I want you to notice in this reading this morning the word may, that I may. Notice that. We're going to notice that four times in the text. And that's where these four aims come from. That I may do this, that I may do that, that I may do this, and that I may do that. It's speaking to what I am focusing on, what is important to me. Number one, that I may gain Christ. That I may gain Christ. Verse 8. And be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own, even that which is of the law. I've left that behind. I'm no longer working the law and trying to be right with God through the old law. I've let that go. But that which is through Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him. Look at that. Number two, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, becoming conformed unto His death. If by any means I may, look at it, I may attain unto the resurrection from the dead. Number three, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained or am I already made perfect, but I press on. If so be, now look at it, that I may lay hold on. Here's your fourth one. That I may lay hold on that for which I also was laid hold on by Christ Jesus. So four times Paul says that I may do this. That lets us know his goal or his aim. Number one, Paul says that I may gain Christ. The word here means to win. Paul had a previous life of things that he felt was important. If you start reading verses 4, 5, 6, circumcised the eighth day, Hebrew of Hebrews, before his conversion, that's what was important to me. My upbringing, my background. And you think about that in your life. Well, look at the job that I had in the past and look at how I was raised and my family name. And I came from this family and we used to do this and we used to do that. And when you look back at your life, you might think, well, there were some important things there. Well, in comparison to Christ, they're nothing. Paul's first aim was to win or gain Christ. In other words, to be found in Him. Notice verse 9 is the next part of that statement, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. That explains what that means. To gain Christ means to be found in Christ, to be baptized into Christ, to be a member of His body. In other words, everything that I had before, It's nothing. I consider all of that loss. Look at verse 7. Howbeit, what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss. In other words, what I thought was important in the past is not. Christ is everything to me now. There are people, and there's nothing wrong with being proud of a job or a retirement or what we accomplished later in our previous life. There's nothing wrong with that per se, but some people are so hung up on that, well, that's what's important, that they're not coming to Christ. Paul previously had gained a great standing and earthly recognition in his Judaism. Look at verse 5. He's a Pharisee. He's a Hebrew of Hebrews. He would have had a great standing in Jerusalem. He could have walked into Jerusalem anytime he wanted. In fact, he went there and got these letters from the high priest. He could walk in there with his head held up high, and he would have been considered a very important Jew. Having sat at the feet of Gamaliel, a great teacher at that time, and Paul saying, you know what? That's nothing to me anymore. Would you have that goal or that aim? Would I? So many people look at their past life as if that's just the greatest thing. Look at what I've accomplished. And it's keeping them from coming to Christ. To gain Christ means to make Him your own by being baptized into Him. You appropriate Him, you put Him on in baptism, and that needs to be your aim and my aim. And everything that we've done previously with regard to our work and some award we got and where we came from and our family name, that is nothing compared to being a Christian. And it reminds me of Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 and 45. The pearl of great price. The man that went and sold everything so that he could go buy that field and get that pearl of great price. That was his goal. You could not deter him from that. He was going to get that pearl of great price. And Jesus said, that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. Is that what it's like to you and me? Why? Ephesians 1:3. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. That's why. That's why I'm not going to stop until I gain Christ. And in Colossians 2, verses 6 through 7, I need to be found in Him. I need to be found in Him. I need to be rooted and builded up. Colossians 2, verse 6, as therefore you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in Him, rooted and builded up in Him, and established in your faith, even as you were taught. Christ, that's why I asked Mason if he would read Philippians 1, for me to live is Christ. That needs to be our number one aim and goal in life. And if there's something that we need to stop looking at in our previous life that we thought was important, then we need to let that go. Philippians 3:7. All of that was gained to me, it's no longer important. Paul had a change in thinking. He had a change in relationship in Damascus. In that vision going into Damascus, in his conversion, in the trance afterwards, when he goes back to Jerusalem, these are changes that he's making. Now today, we're not going to have a vision on the road. We're not going to see a bright light, but the gospel is to change us. And we need to have the aim that I may gain or win Christ. Another thing, you look at verses 5 and 6, he had been in these social circles in Philippians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. He could move freely among the Jews. He was an important Jew. He was a Pharisee. And all of this was important to him. But now, all I want is to be found in Him. That's where I want to be known for. I want to be known as a Christian who is in Christ. I don't care anymore about the Hebrew of Hebrews. I don't care anymore about the Pharisee and all of that. I care about being found in Christ, not in any of these previous relationships that I have. Jesus says in John 15, 1 through 5, that we have to be a branch that's connected to the vine. Otherwise, we're going to be lost. All that matters is that we've been baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:27, and we're found in Him and we've put Him on in baptism. That needs to be our aim and goal in life. The second one that Paul says is found in verse 10, that I may know Him. Now, what does that mean? That I may know Him. Does that mean that I may know him with some sort of book knowledge? I open up my Bible and I read some information and so I know Christ. I kind of know what he looked like. I kind of know how he talked. He ate some fish in John 21, so I know that he likes fish. Is that what that means? That I may know him? That I may know some things about him? He wore sandals. No, it's in this sense and in this word, it's that I might experience him and have a close relationship with him. Paul's second aim in life was to be like Christ in his death and resurrection, to be like Christ in every way that he could. To know him, verse 10, is to be like him, to experience him in every way. And you think about what Paul previously had known. What previously had he experienced? All this Jewish background? But he did not know Christ. He did not experience Christ. Look at Acts chapter 26 and verse 9, where Paul again is recounting his conversion. Acts chapter 26 and verse 9. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Paul knew about Jesus of Nazareth. He read the papers, if you will. He knew what was going on in Palestine. He knew about Jesus of Nazareth. And he knew that this Jesus of Nazareth was taking people away from Judaism. And so we've got to persecute these Christians. We can't have that. But at this point, Paul didn't know Christ like he would come to know him and experience him and be like him. He had information about this Jesus of Nazareth, and we don't like him, and we don't like the way that follows him, and so we're going to persecute them. But to know Christ is not just mere intellectual knowledge, but it means to have a close communion and fellowship and experience with Christ. That needs to be our goal. And this is important with regard to our young people in our Bible classes. We're not just teaching them facts. We're not just teaching them information. We're not just teaching them intellectual knowledge. We're teaching them from God's Word so that one day they can have a close communion with Christ. They will talk like Christ. They will think like Christ. They will act like Christ in every way. It's not about intellectual knowledge. Can you rehearse some facts back to me? Did you make a good grade on a test? There's nothing wrong with those types of assessments, but we're going more than just intellectual feedback. We're going for this is becoming material in my life that I am appropriating and I am becoming like Christ. Galatians 2:20, it is not I that live, but Christ who lives in me. That's what Paul wanted. Now, it starts with book knowledge, but my point is we have to move beyond that. And we have to make sure, Philippians 1:21, it is not I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And then my aim is to be like Christ. Turn with me to Philippians 1 there, where Mason was reading earlier. Paul makes a statement that is interesting there, and he uses a word that is interesting. Each day that I live, my relationship with Christ needs to be so close that I know him. Not know about him, but know him. There is a difference. And Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, look at verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing shall I be put to shame, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. Look at that. When you see me, Christ is magnified. That's the way it needs to be. I am so close that everything, I'm so close with Christ that everything about him is magnified in my body. And these other passages speak to the same thing. So Paul's second aim was to have such a close relationship with Christ that each day he was Christ-like. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, be imitators together of me as I also am of Christ. Imitator. And the Greek word there is mimic. Mime, mimic. And so if we're reading our Bible and it's just book knowledge, then we haven't gone far enough. Our aim is too short. Our aim needs to be to know Christ. Not book knowledge, not filling out a workbook, not getting the answers right, but to have a close relationship with Christ each day that He is magnified in my body. That's a little bit different aim. And so Paul's second aim was to know and fully experience a close communion with Christ. Be like Him in His death. Paul died to sin. Paul was raised to walk in newness of life through baptism. And to have a close relationship with Him. Let's look at the third aim. The third aim of the Apostle Paul. Paul says that I may attain unto the resurrection. This is found in verse 11. If by any means I may attain unto the resurrection from the dead. Now, what is Paul saying here? Well, let's remember something about the Apostle Paul. He was a Pharisee. Do you remember in Acts chapter 23 when Paul was talking to the Sanhedrin there and they're having a debate among themselves between the Sadducees and the Pharisees? And it says there that the Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection, but the Pharisees do. Paul was a Pharisee. Would he have believed in the resurrection from the dead? Absolutely. So what's his point here? This is something a little bit different. Paul's not saying, one day I have a goal of being raised from the dead. No, he'd always believed that. That was nothing new for Paul. What this is the resurrection of the dead, and particularly of the righteous. He had always believed in a resurrection, but if he had continued living as he was living, he would not have been raised with the righteous. Everybody's going to be raised, but not all will be raised to eternal life. And so in verse 11, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection from the dead, this is what Paul is going to call later in other places, the resurrection of the just or the righteous. Turn with me to Acts chapter 24 and verse 15. Paul's goal now was not just the general resurrection. That's no goal because everybody's going to achieve that whether you're shooting for it or not. Everybody's going to be raised from the dead. You don't have to aim for that one. You're going to be a part of a resurrection. But we have to aim for the part of the resurrection of the righteous. In Acts chapter 24 and verse 15, having hope toward God, which these also themselves look for, that there shall be a resurrection both of the just and of the unjust. There's going to be a resurrection of everyone, but what side of that equation are we going to be on? We have to aim for the resurrection of the just or the righteous. Turn with me to John chapter 5. We have to live in such a way that our life is right with God, so that when in the general resurrection of the just and the unjust, we're on the right side of that equation. In John chapter 5 and verse 28, marvel not at this, for the hour cometh in which all that are in the tomb shall hear His voice. Look, all of us are going to be raised. You don't have to aim for that one. And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of the judgment. There's where your aim comes in. Are we living that good life, that righteous life, that will provide the resurrection of eternal life? And so the third aim that Paul had was the resurrection of the righteous. We don't have to do anything in life. Just keep living the way you're living. You don't have to do anything special, and you'll be raised from the dead. But we have to do some things that are special to have the resurrection of eternal life. We have to obey the gospel. We have to live faithfully. We have to apply Christ in our life each day. We have to become a Christian, you see. And then we will be raised with the just, with the righteous. And so that needs to be an aim of ours. And then fourth and final, the Apostle Paul says, when we come on down in our reading in Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says in verse 12, one last aim that he had. and that is that he may lay hold, that I may lay hold on that for which also I was laid hold on by Christ. You almost have to slow that down and read it a few times to see what's going on there. Christ laid hold on Paul. When did he do that? When he was going to Damascus. Christ laid hold on Paul. And Christ said, you are not going to be kicking against the goads anymore. You're not going to be persecuting me anymore. I've got a new plan for you. You're going to become an apostle. You're going to make some changes here, friend. And I'm going to lay hold on you. And the Greek word there means to seize. Christ seized Paul. He laid hold on him. And he was a changed man. But look at what Paul says. And here's the point. Paul says, that I may lay hold on that for which I was laid hold on. In other words, Christ laid hold on me. He made some changes. He wants me to go in a new direction. Now here's my aim. I want to lay hold on that too. I want to fully get on board with that. I want to fully fulfill my mission in that. I want to seize what Christ seized me for. I want to seize that. Let me ask you this. Have you ever done anything because somebody else wanted you to do it? You were doing it, but it was pretty much 100% somebody else. You really weren't doing it because you wanted to do it. You were doing it because somebody else really wanted you to do it. And there might not necessarily be anything wrong with that, but you're doing it because somebody else is wanting you to do it. We do that all the time. We might do that at home. We might do that at work. We might do that a number of places. But listen, when it comes to being a Christian, we can't operate like that. When we become a Christian, we need to be a Christian, not just, well, that's just something God wants me to do. Or that's just something my spouse wants. My spouse has been on me about that for years, and okay, I'll do it. No, I need to do it because I seize this. This is what I want. And whether somebody else wants it or not, that's beside the point. I want it because it's the right thing to do. Paul said, I've learned as I'm going through life, these are my aims and these are my goals. And there's one more, and that is I want to fully seize this work, this purpose for which Christ has laid hold on me. Christ called me. And he mentions that in Galatians chapter 1, how that he was called by Christ. He has a purpose. He has a calling for me. He laid hold on me, and I want to fully seize that. I don't want it simply to be that Christ wants this, and I don't really want it, but I'll do it because he wants me. No, I want to lay hold on this purpose. Paul wanted to lay hold, literally to seize the work that he was called to do. And you know, we see this a few places in his life and in his writings. Turn with me to Acts chapter 20. And here's the lesson for those of us as Christians. And I said earlier that these goals this morning are not just all related to being baptized into Christ. And so, since we've already done that years ago, this lesson is not for us. No, there's something here for all of us. There's something here for the person who needs to become a Christian for the first time. That's true, that I may gain Christ and so forth. But there are some things here for us as Christians, and here's one of them. We need to seize and hold on to and fully embrace our life as a Christian, our work as a Christian, our purpose as a Christian. Well, Mom and Dad want me to... No, it's not about what Mom and Dad want. Well, my spouse wants me. No, it's not about that. It's about what I want to fully do. Here's an example of this. Look at Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 and verse 20. How I shrank not from declaring unto you anything that was profitable, and teaching you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me, save the Holy Spirit testifieth unto me that in every city, saying, bonds and afflictions abide me. But look at this. But I hold not my life of any account as dear unto myself, so that I may accomplish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know, you all know, that among whom I went preaching the kingdom shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I testify unto you that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I shrank not from declaring unto you the whole counsel of God. Look at that, verse 24. I'm going to finish and accomplish my course and my ministry, and I'm going to preach it as full as I can. I'm not going to hold back anything. That's Paul, who seized his work. Romans 1, 14 and 15. I'm a debtor to Jews and to Greeks. For as much as in me is, look at that, as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you also. Look at 1 Corinthians 9, 19 through 23. 1 Corinthians 9, 19 through 23. I am become all things to all men that I might gain some. Is that a half-hearted Paul? Is that a Paul that's being dragged around by the ear? You know, you need to do what I want you to do. No, this is a man who is fully engulfed in his work of serving Christ as an apostle, as a Christian, and that's the point. I want to lay hold on that, his work, that for which Christ laid hold on me. Do we get up each day fully seizing our life as a Christian? Or is it more along the lines of, well, I'm doing it because, you know, Larry and myself, well, my dad was a preacher, you know, so I guess I need to be a Christian because my dad was a preacher or something like that. No, I think it's great. That's a great work and that's a great heritage. But I need to be what I need to be because I fully embrace that and understand the importance of that. Before we move on, there are two Old Testament examples of individuals who needed to learn this same thing. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 3. Moses had to learn to eventually take hold of that work for which he was called to do. Do you remember that when he was called at the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 10, God appears to him just like Jesus appears to Saul on the road to Damascus. God appears to Moses. Verse 10, come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth the people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. What is the first thing out of Moses' mouth? What's the first thing out of his mouth? An excuse, followed by several others, all the way through chapter 4 and verse 17. Well, I can't do it for this reason, and I can't do it for that. And this might happen, and that might happen. Moses had to learn by the end of chapter 4, and he does by the end of chapter 4, that no, I need to go and do this. I need to be fully on board with this. I need to trust in this. I need to do what God wants me to do because I understand the importance of it wholeheartedly. Without excuse, I'm going to seize my work of leading God's people out of Israel. There's another example. Turn with me to Jeremiah. Early on, Jeremiah would do great things. But early on, notice that when he's called, notice the attitude here. Jeremiah chapter 1. And maybe this happens in our life. Maybe we need to make some changes. We need to make some transitions to where we are wholeheartedly a Christian each day, not because somebody really is nudging me and pushing me and sort of, you know, putting the pressure on me from this end or that end. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 4. Now the word of Jehovah came unto me saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctify thee. I have appointed thee a prophet unto the nations. What is the first thing out of his mouth? Verse 6. Then I said, ah, Lord, behold, I know not how to speak, for I am a child, and so forth. Now, did Jeremiah fully embrace his work and ministry? Absolutely. And I believe Moses did. But it took some time to work through that. Paul wanted to lay hold on his work. And we need to do that this morning. We need to seize and lay hold on the work that we're not an apostle, no. No, there are some things about Paul that we are not. But there are some things about Paul, the Christian side, that we certainly are about, and we need to fully seize that. Well, we come to the close. Paul's four aims. What a beautiful lesson. What are you shooting for? What were you planning on hitting today as your target? What was your target today? What was your aim? What was your goal? It needs to be broad. It needs to include eternity and the judgment day. We need to get our head up to heavenly aims and goals and not so much on the earthly things that we might be going on. And we can have these same four goals in our life: to win Christ, to know Him, to attain unto the resurrection of the just or the righteous, and to lay hold and seize our calling in life. But you know what that's going to take? That's going to take some changing. Paul gets up one day. I'm going to go to Damascus and I'm going to persecute some Christians. A few days later, he's preaching that those same Christians are right and that we need to be like them. What changed? His target changed. His aim changed. But why? He was changed. We need to be changed, and then we will have these same aims. And so what is it this morning that you need to change? What is it this morning that I need to change? So that we may truly win Christ, so that we may truly be like Him each day. Is it an attitude change? Is it a personality change? Is it a disposition? What is it on that one? And if I'm headed toward a resurrection, we're all headed there, but I'm not going to be among the resurrection of the just because of a sin or an immorality or whatever, I need to change. And if I get up each day and I know I'm a Christian, but I really haven't seized that, I've not made it my own and fully embraced it and wholeheartedly and fulfilling it. Remember Acts 20, that I may fulfill my course and the ministry that God has given. That I may fully engulf that, embrace that, complete that. If that's not what I'm about each day, then what do I need to change to be about that? I hope that this lesson has encouraged us. Might be time to go out and change the target, to change the goal, and make sure that we have those heavenly aspirations that God wants for us. And if we can assist you, if we can encourage you, if it's a matter of studying, if it's a matter of encouragement, if it's a matter of talking about something, let's do that so that our aims in life are heaven-bound. And you know, you hit what you're shooting for. And we all want to go to heaven. We all want to hit that target. But we've got to be shooting for that today. And if we can assist you along those lines, why won't you come? As we stand and sing.